A Time of Peril. June 11th, 1903. We are living amidst the perils of the last days. Soon everything that can be shaken will be shaken. The world is rapidly taking sides in the great conflict between good and evil. The enemy, with all his satanic craft, is working diligently to secure souls. He has influenced the minds of many who know the truth, so that they have walked contrary to the light God has given them. And even when God has sent them warnings, they have closed their ears and walked on in ways of their own devising. Those who are in a state of uncertainty regarding the messages of warning that God is sending will soon take their stand either for or against the truth. Many souls have been presented before me as being tempted by Satan to deny the faith. Fired by an unsanctified, unholy zeal, they will lead others in strange paths, and under their leadership, many will become entangled in the specious snares of the enemy. The Lord calls upon his slumbering people to awake out of their sleep. Many who in their ignorance consider themselves to be wise, like the foolish virgins in the parable, do not realize that their lamps are going out. When they awake to their condition, it will be too late for them to obtain a fresh supply of oil, and they will be unready to meet the bridegroom. Many do not fully understand the principles of salvation by faith. Only by fully believing in Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit can we understand the saving truths of the gospel and receive the blessings that are given to those who accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Thus only can we obtain power to become the sons of God, and thus only receive the earnest of our inheritance, a foretaste of the blessedness of heaven. While many will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, those who take heed to God's warnings will stand on vantage ground. Christ will give clear spiritual perception to those who will now confess and put away their sins. If they hold the beginning of their confidence steadfast unto the end, they will be able to discern in its true light even the miracle-working power of Satan. Christ will decidedly manifest himself to his loyal and true church, to all who have purified their souls through obedience to the truth. The law of God will be magnified. Those who do not hold the beginning of their confidence steadfast unto the end will find in the last great day that they have brought to the foundation worthless material, represented by wood, hay, and stubble, which must be consumed by fire. A call for aggressive work. Satan is seeking to hinder the work of God. He endeavors to pervert the minds of God's people and to bring into the church perplexities and difficulties. Let not the precious time of our ministers be employed in seeking to settle differences among brethren. Our workers are not to confine their labors to those who have long known the truth. We have reached a time when we must not be drawn away from our work to attend so many gatherings among ourselves to adjust difficulties. Many of those who for years have heard the call to the marriage supper will not heed the urgent invitation, "Come, for all things are now ready." Luke 14, verse 17. Of those to whom the call has been given, but who persistently refuse to heed the invitation, Christ says, "They shall not taste of my supper." Verse 24. He calls upon his messengers now to go to those who have not heard the call. "Go out into the highways and hedges," he says, "and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Verse 23. They are to give to all classes the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. A special work has been committed to us. God's work must go forward. Let every believer seek to understand and perform his God-given work. Heavenly agencies will cooperate with God's servants as they enter new territory. Those who would preach the gospel of Christ must be familiar with his life on this earth. They must understand that he met and overcame every temptation to which man is subject. In his strength we may overcome and receive the fulfillment of the promise. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father on his throne. Revelation 3, verse 21. Let all who would work for the Master first accept the invitation of Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Those who accept this invitation will realize that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. To the praise of his glory.
The Lord blesses his people, that they may be a blessing to others. Those who have been sanctified through the truth are to be channels through which his love and grace may flow. They are to rejoice in the Lord. He delights to hear from human lips fervent prayer, testimonies of thanksgiving, and songs of praise. With one voice, God's people are to praise him. By the purity and nobility of their lives, they are to reveal his power to the world. Let all exalt and magnify God, speaking of his wondrous works. Why should not those who love God, those whom he has blessed with all spiritual blessings, speak of his goodness and mercy to the children of men? Let us appreciate our privileges. Let us praise God for making provision whereby we may be united with Christ our Mediator, through whom all blessings flow. Let us rejoice because God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The need of self-examination. The people whom in these last days God has called out from the fallen churches and from the world are to examine themselves closely, comparing their lives with the law of God. His law is perfect, converting the soul, but it must be studied, cherished in the heart, and exalted as the transcript of God's character. Those who, having received light and evidence, turn away their ears from the hearing of the law, cannot enter into the kingdom of God, for they are not clothed with Christ's righteousness. Let each one seek God for himself. We are living in the great day of atonement, when self must be laid upon the altar, a living sacrifice. Our Heavenly Father has plainly laid down the conditions with which we must comply in order to gain salvation. And his word is sure. Now is the time for wrongs to be righted. Now is the time for self-examination. Have you followed the good impulses of your heart, or have you cherished selfishness and covetousness? Have you given place to evil surmising and evil speaking? Have your words been harsh and unkind? Has there been any underhand work in your life? Have you connived at evil? Let the heart be searched as with a lighted candle. Without confession and reformation, there can be no pardon. God calls for repentance. The Lord will forgive all who will separate from the world and take their position on his side. God's purpose for us. God is the counselor of his people. He takes note of every thought and plan and act of his people. In his word, his plans and his will have been clearly specified. And those who work counter to his purposes do so at the peril of the soul. Those who substitute human inventions and human plans for the will and purpose of God would not, were a second probation granted them, conform to the will of God. Those who insist on carrying out their own ideas will never enter the heavenly courts. Those who bind themselves up with the world will be judged with the world and found disloyal to God. God's purpose is that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Verses 10
11. God's will and God's methods are far above the ideas and methods of men. God's purposes will no more blend with worldly plans than oil will mix with water. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Verses 12 to 14.
The purpose of God for us is expressed in the prayer of Paul. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Verses 15 to 23. It was faith in Christ that gave Paul confidence when before Felix he preached the gospel with such power that Felix trembled, and when to Agrippa he presented the truths that fastened on him the conviction that Christ is the Son of God. The power of the Holy Spirit upheld the apostle against the tide of persecution. Even when he was called to seal his testimony with his blood, he glorified God, singing hymns of thanksgiving and rejoicing that even in dying he was a conqueror. The power of Christ is sufficient for every necessity. We are no longer to be hindered by those who have had many messages of warning and caution and encouragement, but who have used every word of encouragement to justify their works of unrighteousness. I have long carried a heavy burden for these souls, but now the Lord says to me, "It is enough. More will not be required." The medical missionary work, as it is now conducted, bears not the signature of heaven. Yet some have thought that this work would be sufficient to prepare a people to stand in these last days.